Hallelujah. Let's be in an atmosphere of prayer for a few minutes. Just let's bow our heads in prayer and just begin to ponder on the Lord. Just begin to ponder on the Lord this morning. The Holy Spirit is here. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is going to touch you. The Holy Spirit is breathing upon you this morning. Hallelujah. God is going to shift you from one level to another level. To some, it's a brand new season, a season of great joy, a season of bearing fruit. The power of God's presence is here this morning. The river of the Holy Spirit is flowing in this room today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're here today to touch your people, to heal your people, to build your people, to lift your people. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the one who's going to bring salvation to the city of York. It's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is breathing upon many of you this morning. He's ministering to you this morning. It's a new season. I declare a new season upon you. From this day forth, things are going to change. Not because of anything, but it's because of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that is coming upon you right now, changing you from the inside out, drawing you into greater intimacy, drawing you into a deeper place in His presence. Even as deep calls unto deep, He's calling you into that place of intimacy this morning. Burdens have been rolled away. You're feeling light already. Every burden is being rolled away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're here today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There are some of you, God is healing you today from certain ailments and situations. The Holy Spirit is healing you this morning. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. There's somebody here with dyslexia. God is healing you today. There's somebody else this morning who's with a spinal cord problem. God is healing you today. Somebody else with diabetes. God is healing you. Another person with insomnia. God is healing you. Somebody else with a blockage in your arteries. The Spirit of God is touching you right now, and He's healing you. There's another person who has problems in your intestines. God is healing you right now. Another person in your bowels. There's a problem in your bowels, and the Holy Spirit is healing you right now. Just receive your healing. Just begin to receive that healing through the word of knowledge. The fire of God is falling afresh on you. He's burning every form of sickness right now from your body. Hallelujah. From every ailment, God is healing you right now. The fire of God's presence comes upon you this morning to heal you and to set you free. Hallelujah. To set you free. The Bible says wherever the Spirit is, there's liberty. Hallelujah. He liberates us. Hallelujah. I release revival upon you. Hallelujah. The Spirit of revival upon your life. The Spirit of revival upon your family, upon your children. Great joy comes into your home today. Hallelujah. Great joy is coming to your home. Father, I just commit this time to you right now. Even as I bring forth your word, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bring great understanding. Joy comes by understanding, by the spoken word, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word that's going to be spoken today. I pray, Lord, that you would touch people today, O God, and bring great joy, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That their hearts will be touched by the power of your Spirit, O God. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here. Something fresh. We thank you for the fresh outpouring of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I bind every form of infirmity to leave this room right now. In the name of Jesus, that your people will be free, hallelujah, to receive from the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. What a joy to be here this morning. It's always a delight to come to Abundant Life Center. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Luke? To the book of Luke. About a year ago, I was going to a gym. I still go to this gym. And when I was going to this gym, every day when I went to the gym, there was loud music in the gym. You call it pop music, right? But this was beyond pop music. It was so, you know, bad. The lyrics were awful. And I couldn't stand it. So I went and spoke to the gym trainer, the manager in the gym. So I went and told him, you know, I can't listen to this music. So he looked at me and he looked really surprised. He said, "This is what we play." And I thought like he might, you know, change his mind and, you know, bring the volume down. But the volume increased. And there was no change. So I went and spoke to him again and he got really angry with me. He said, it was like, He told me, you know, in a roundabout way, if you don't like it, you can go. So I used my pastor title, and I said, I'm a pastor. He didn't care less. But the music started increasing. So the Lord gave me an idea of what to do, and I took my earplugs, and I started listening to praise and worship music. And during my workout time, the Lord, you know, compelled me to pray for this young man. So every day when I went to work out, I was listening to praise and worship, and I was praying for this young man. So things at the gym got worse. Every time I walked in, they would start laughing at me. A couple of young people would get together, and they would start laughing at me. But I would have my praise and worship, and I would worship the Lord and I would pray for this person, but things didn't change. About 5 months ago, you know, I came back from a trip and I was thinking, oh, it's back again at the gym. And I was a little bit reluctant to go there, but as I was going to the gym, as I went to the gym that morning, the gym trainer, there was such a, you know, such a light in this young man's face that morning, and he came running to me, and he addressed me saying, "Pastor, I want to tell you something." I was expecting the worst. But the Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 5, you know, our expectancy is from the Lord. Amen. We got to expect good things from the Lord, not bad things. Sometimes we expect the worst things. That morning, even as he, you know, spoke to me, he said, "Something happened to me, Pastor." I said, "Tell me what happened to you." He said, "One of my friends invited me for a meeting, and I went for the meeting, and at the meeting, I got filled with the Holy Spirit." So that was a work of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to touch sinners. Hallelujah. In the marketplace. Amen. You never know what God is going to do with your life. Hallelujah. And a couple of days after that, he had really not received the Lord, but it was really amazing that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So I led him to the Lord and I shared him about salvation. And then a couple of weeks ago, he got water baptized. Now he's becoming a disciple. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Months ago, I was reading my Bible and I was doing a Bible study. Every morning I do a Bible study just for myself. This is not sermons, but it's just for myself. And as I was just reading my Bible, it was just a Bible study in the morning. I read through the Bible and that morning was the book of Luke. And as I read through this first chapter of Luke, something touched my heart. It was like a fire that started to ignite on the inside of me. And this morning I want to share the fire with you. Amen. There's something that happened in my heart and that has not left me. It's like David. I don't know when you got married, but maybe, you know, one day as you were going somewhere, you saw Giovanna, right? And suddenly, you know, something happened to you. Ooh, everything stopped. Suddenly, you know, your heart was, you know, captured by this lady, hallelujah. And then things changed, and then, you know, God brought a beautiful family, amen? It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's a love relationship. Hallelujah. God brings us into a love relationship. It's not systematic. It's not religion. It's not about, you know, knowing the Holy Spirit, but God wants us to love Him. Amen? To bring us into a beautiful relationship with the Holy Spirit. I've known about the Holy Spirit. I pray in tongues. I do meetings. You know, people are touched by the Holy Spirit. But I believe that God is doing something fresh across the world. And here in the United States, God is doing something fresh. You know, there's a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God. Even in my nation, in our mission stations, in our mission base in Kandy, God is, you know, pouring out His Spirit. Just a few weeks ago, a lady who came to our church, one of our workers went and prayed for her. She had cancer. She got healed. Another person who came to our church, his kidneys had failed. After prayer, he got healed. Hallelujah. Just 2 weeks, was it last Sunday? Yeah, it was last Sunday. There was this lady who came to our church and she came running on Monday morning and she said, "Something happened to me." I said, "What happened?" She said, "The moment, you know, God led you to lay your hands on me, I came with so much pain. She had so much pain in her body, in her back. And she said at times she was so fearful that she may die. And for a couple of weeks that she was, you know, struggling with this pain, going to work. But on that Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit, you know, touched her. She said like it was like, you know, fresh water, you know, coming over her body. Suddenly the pain just left her. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, not by might, nor by power, not by any man, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So here in the book of Luke, the title of my message this morning is titled as Beyond Blessing. Amen. The work of the Holy Spirit is beyond blessing. Hallelujah. It's beyond what we, it's something amazing that can happen to us. And here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city." Is there another mic? A different mic? So, okay, no, it's a, "sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation should this be? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who has called her barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to the word, according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11, the Bible says that God blessed the house of Obed-Edom because of the Ark of the Covenant was in the house of Obed-Edom. Amen. You know, when we have the presence of God in our lives, God will bless us. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that everything that pertaineth to the house of Obed-Edom was blessed. Amen. We are living in an age that the Holy Spirit is going to touch everything that's connected to you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is going to impact people. Hallelujah. The purpose, what I call my message beyond blessing is, you know, God wants us to be witnesses in the uttermost parts of the world. Hallelujah. God is going to take us to the uttermost parts of the world to be witnesses. Here in your county, in your neighborhood, in your community, God wants us to be witnesses. Hallelujah. Here in the Bible, in verse 28, it says, the angel said unto Mary, Hail, thou art highly favored of the Lord. Hallelujah. Mary found favor in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we wonder, you know, what this favor is all about. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, we see a lady by the name of Esther. And Esther prepared herself for 1 year. There was a rigorous preparation. It was called a purification program for Esther. And she was preparing herself to be selected to become the queen. And she went through this purification program. And you might ask me, Pastor Pradeep, what does that mean to me? Do I need to go through a purification program? What it means to us is God is wanting us to go through a purification program, a purification process in our hearts. Hallelujah. And Esther was chosen to become the king, was chosen as the queen. Hallelujah. And she found favor in the sight of the king. Amidst many other people, you know, Esther found favor because of her preparation. You know, preparation will always bring favor. Hallelujah. Preparation in the presence of the Lord will always cause our hearts to be pure. Hallelujah. Will bring us into the inner courts. The inner courts means the inner courts of our God. Into the Holy of Holies. God is going to bring us into the Holy of Holies. Favor is not just having a Rolex watch. Favor is not having Armani, you know, suit. Favor is not driving a Rolls Royce. If you have it, it's fine. I'm not preaching against it. I'm not coming from Sri Lanka and preaching poverty to you. But I'm talking about favor with God. Hallelujah. Favor in the presence of God. You know, when we have favor with God, God is going to lift you up. Hallelujah. From where you are, and he's going to take you to a higher place in him. And Esther was positioned in a place of great influence. And in that nation, when there was a great trial where Esther's position was tested, where she, sometimes, you know, when we have a position of honor, a position of influence, we forget about people. We forget about our nation. But Esther did not forget about her nation. Esther did not forget about her people. She even risked her life when she was not called to come into the inner chambers of the king. She went in. She risked her life. And the scepter of the king was held up. I'm not going into details because I don't have all the details. I'm not preaching about Esther today. I'm just talking about favor. The scepter of the king was held up. Sometimes we wonder, why is that scepter held up? Only when the scepter is held up is Esther or the queen can go in. Hallelujah. It was not luck, but it was by divine providence of God. The scepter was held up, and Esther was not going to be killed, but Esther was going to be heard by the king. Hallelujah. Friends, when God is pleasing to us, we will be pleasing to God. That's why the Bible says to delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. Psalms 37 verse 4. That God has to be pleasing to us, then he will be pleasing to us. Hallelujah. One preacher said, you know, we live, he said, it's a preacher who said this. He said that we are there for, God is there for our joy. We are here on this earth for our joy and for our pleasure. That's wrong. We are here on this earth to bring glory to God. Hallelujah. That's our final object, to bring glory to God. Hallelujah. Everything we do is to bring glory to God, to bring pleasure for God. Hallelujah. that our lives bring pleasure to God. Hallelujah. And Esther was in that inner chamber, and the scepter of the king was held up. What it really means is that Esther had a life of obedience. Having the scepter held up means that she was obeying the commandments of the Lord. And when we obey the commandments of the Lord, God will give you favor. You will see the favor of God coming upon your life. Hallelujah. And I believe that unlike ever before, favor is your portion. And Esther was heard. And the Jewish people were saved. Hallelujah. And the evil plot of Haman was unfolded and thwarted. And the whole, the decree that the king, commanded that he put into effect was reversed back again. Hallelujah. That is the favor of God. Amen. Hallelujah. When we live in his presence, when we please him, and when we live according to his word, hallelujah, God will give us favor, because your heart is not to please yourself. Your heart, you're using the favor or the position that God has given to you to save your community, the people around you. There was another lady. Her name was Ruth. And Ruth was a person who was concerned about others, not herself. So she left her hometown, she left her mother, she left her father, and she followed Naomi. And Naomi had nothing, no blessings, right? Naomi had nothing, but she followed because she believed in covenant. A lot of the times, beloved, we can have covenant with God, but we need to have covenant with each other, even in a marriage relationship. I like people saying that I have covenant with God, but we also need covenant with each other. Amen? There's power in covenant, friends. Hallelujah. There's favor in covenant. Sometimes when, I remember a preacher saying this, he said, marriage is like a heart. You start in love and then you go like that. That's when all the troubles come, right? And then you end up here again. That's when the honeymoon starts again. That's how marriage is, right? Hallelujah. But I love covenant. You can learn about covenant from Ruth. Ruth held on to Naomi, and Naomi had nothing to give. We live in a society, what can you give me? That's the society we live in. What can you give me? That's the type of society. But Ruth was living in covenant, in a covenant relationship, not in a relationship to get something. But she was living in a relationship to give something. That's how God is. Hallelujah. He's not in a contract. You do something for me, and I'll do something for you. That's not how God is. He's a God who is ever loving. He's got unfailing love for you and I. Amen? His love is flowing. And here we see in the book of Ruth 2:11, because of her commitment to Naomi and because of her covenant with Naomi, God, caused favor to arise on Ruth. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 11, Boaz said, I have been told all about you, what you have done for your mother-in-law, leaving your homeland, your mother and your father. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. Hallelujah. She was favored of God. Esther was favored of God. And here was Mary, who's been greeted by God. Hallelujah. And God has chosen her as the person to bring his son to this earth. Hallelujah. Tell the person next to you, you are favored of God. Hallelujah. The second thing I want to share with you today is the Bible says the angel of the Lord said to Mary, "The Lord is with you." This morning I want you to know that God is with you. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through, God is with you. How do I know that God is with me? It's His presence. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. When the presence of the Holy Spirit is with you, you know that God is with you. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 9, the way the presence of God can come to you is in Genesis, one way is in Genesis chapter 22, verse 9. There are three things that happens that needs to happen for the presence of God to come into our lives. This morning, as I was preparing for this meeting, for this service, I sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was strong. And as I speak to you this morning, the power of God's presence is here today. Hallelujah. You're going to walk out of this place completely changed. You're going to walk out completely charged by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And here in Genesis 22, verse 9, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'm just talking to you about how the presence of God will come. It comes through waiting on God. Pastor, how do I wait on God? The way I wait on God is very simple. There are three things. The first process is called the altar. It's the altar. And every one of you are an altar before God. And at the altar, there are two spirits. Don't worry, I'm not going to be spooky in teaching some false thing. There are 10 spirits. No, there are two spirits. Just two spirits. One is an evil spirit. And the other one is the Holy Spirit. And if I choose to obey God, and if I choose to walk with God, the Holy Spirit is upon me. There's an open heaven, and I am the attendee to the Holy Spirit. I'm the attendee of my temple. I'm responsible for my temple. Hallelujah. And there's an open heaven over your life. Hallelujah. And here in Genesis 22, verse 9, we see how Abraham came to that mountain called Moriah, and he made a place for God. He was waiting on God, a place of prayer, waiting on God. And that place has a place called the altar, which speaks of consecration and dedication. Hallelujah. It deals with our attitude about ourselves. Hallelujah. Am I seeking? Am I searching my heart? David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and create in me the correct spirit within me." How it deals with my attitude about myself. The second thing is the tent. It speaks of progression. People talk about progression. Oh, I'm progressing. I'm doing this. But actually, they're not progressing. Because the way I can progress is the attitude towards change. I need to change. Hallelujah. Am I changing daily in His presence? How are my words? How are my thoughts? How do I deal with people? Sometimes we get angry with people. Yesterday I went to get a sandwich, and the waitress was so rude. Everything was just making me really angry. The Holy Spirit told me, show love. Amen? Everything was so difficult for her to do. Holy Spirit said, stay calm. So I need the Holy Spirit. I don't want an evil spirit. I don't want to get angry. I don't want to get agitated. Amen? That's not God. I want to please God. The Holy Spirit is about pleasing God. The work of the Holy Spirit is to love Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit is to express the nature of Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit brings change to me. Changing the way I behave. Hallelujah. My behavior, sometimes, you know, I see people, you know, preaching so strong, but their behavior doesn't really match up to the way they preach. Amen. Hallelujah. A good indication is you're going to ask the preacher's wife, how is this preacher? Is he like that at home? Is he treating you well? Amen. And the wife can give a good answer. Hallelujah. It's the way we behave. Hallelujah. It's the way we speak. It's the way we raise our kids. Is it a loving atmosphere? My son, when he was small, he used to always say, Daddy, you know, even the first day I would go somewhere on an overseas trip, he said, Dad, what did you get me? What did you get me? Doesn't that sound like us sometimes with God? God, I need this. God, I need that. God, we have this list. But now he's changed. So he told me before I went on a trip, he said, Dad, I think I'm really going to miss you. So I thought he was joking. So I said, explain to me how you're going to miss me. Then he came next closer to me and he held my hands. He said, Dad, I really love you. I said, Joshua, do you really mean it? Dad, I really mean it. I really love you. Hallelujah. And that's how the Holy Spirit is. He loves us. Amen. It's like the little boy. Hallelujah. And that's how, when we begin to love the Holy Spirit, we begin to receive the love of God. Romans 5:5, it says, the love of God is shed abroad through the Holy Spirit. As we begin to walk in the Spirit, we begin to love each other. Hallelujah. There will be that agape love flowing, hallelujah, for each other. Hallelujah. God is good. I believe today God is doing miracles. In this room, God is doing miracles. In your lives, God is doing miracles with your kids. Hallelujah. He's a miraculous God. The Holy Spirit does miracles. He intervenes on behalf of us. In our circumstances, he comes and he intervenes and he does the most difficult thing than this little box can ask or think. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's so powerful. Hallelujah. He's a God of miracles. Hallelujah. He brings change. That's the altar. The third thing is the tent and speaks of progression. It deals with, the third thing is the well. It speaks of satisfaction. Deals with our attitude towards God, our dependency upon him. Hallelujah. In this place, hallelujah, in this place of being, building a place for God is a place of surrender to God, a place of death, a place of yielding to God. Hallelujah. Embracing the cross. Some people call me, you know, healing evangelist is coming. I say, hey, don't call me healing evangelist. I'm a gospel preacher. Amen. I preach on the cross. I preach on the blood, not just on healing. Hallelujah. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. He's not only healing our physical body, but he heals our soul. Hallelujah. The biggest problem is the healing of the soul. The phenomena of the heart. He wants to heal our hearts. The healing of the soul. The healing of the mind. Hallelujah. It's the gospel. It's a holistic gospel. Amen. And the greatest tragedy in the church today is people don't have revelation. And when they don't have revelation, they don't know God. They don't know who God is. That's why, you know, they're looking for shorter services. They're looking for entertainment. Oh, I just need this. And I need this message for myself. And they're looking for these messages to itch their ears. But I believe that in the presence of God, you know, God is releasing revelation, a revelation of who Jesus is. Hallelujah. So friends, you know, this morning, the presence of God is flowing into your lives. In Genesis 22, verse 14, in that place, it was called a place where God will provide, El Shaddai. Amen. It's a place of sacrifice. And I believe that every tear and every prayer that you pray from that place will be heard. Hallelujah. God heard the prayers of Solomon, and God answered his prayer with fire from heaven. Hallelujah. And God is going to answer your prayers. Hallelujah. You're going to see the fire of God come upon your life. The fire of God come upon your home. Hallelujah. It's going to answer prayer. Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy forfeit the promises of God in your life. Too many Christians are forfeiting the promises of God. But this morning I speak to you and I say from Numbers 6:13, hallelujah, even as Caleb said, we are well able to go in and possess the land. Hallelujah. The promises that God has, we are well able to go in and possess that which is ahead of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The third thing, the angel of the Lord said, the Holy Spirit will come and overshadow thee. When Mary said, how can this be? I'm not even married. Sometimes when you have doubts in your life, we need the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. I call it the overflow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Hallelujah. Pastor, how can I tap into the overflow? It's very simple. You have the overflow. Amen. You already have the overflow. How do I do it? In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 21, we see a key here. Where Elisha was with his oxen, you know, plowing and doing his daily work. And as he was doing his daily work, you know, daily, I believe that he was faithful to God. Faithfulness is a key for the overflow of the Spirit of God. And I believe your pastor is a very faithful man, and Donna, very faithful to God. I don't know so many pastors, but one thing about Pastor Bill is he is very consistent. You know, very consistent. You can depend upon him. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's the key for the overflow of the Spirit of God. You know, faithfulness. If you're faithful in the little things, David was faithful in tending to his father's sheep when nobody else was looking at him. And suddenly, you know, things opened up for him. And here for Elisha, suddenly, you know, in that desolate area where he was. Perhaps you may feel like that today. You may feel like you're alone. You may feel like I haven't had that breakthrough. But you are faithful. Amen. You are faithful. And Bible says, a faithful person will abound with blessing. Hallelujah. You will see the overflow of the Holy Spirit in your life. And Elisha was chosen by Elijah. Why? Because I believe that he was faithful. God saw a heart of faithfulness to God. Joshua was faithfully serving Moses. He was not usurping authority. He said, no, I'm the preacher now. I want to prophesy. I want to do this. No, he was just faithfully waiting. God is looking for faithful people. Hallelujah. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, not only faithfulness, but also submission. He was submitted. Hallelujah. When we are submitted, when we are faithful and when we are submitted, there will be something that will come. It's called determination. Elisha was determined to receive the double portion anointing. Amen. Beloved, this morning I believe that God is releasing a determination. No matter what cometh me, I'm determined to receive all what the Holy Spirit has for me. Amen. I want a life in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I don't want the flesh. Oh, Pastor, I'm praying. Prayer does not work. Oh, what did you say? Prayer does not work. What did you say? You may not get invited again by Pastor Bill. I'm saying prayer does not work. You may not get invited again. I'm telling you, prayer does not work. Why? Because it's in the flesh. If you pray in the flesh, it doesn't work. You've got to pray in the Spirit. Amen. That's when it clicks. That's when it works. That's when you connect with God. Not just praying in the flesh. Hallelujah. Here was a man who was determined. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 3, when we hear the word of God, heeding the word of God, even as I speak today, as you're receiving, I know there's going to be an increase of the Spirit of God in your life. An increase, a new measure of the Spirit of God in your life. Hearing the word of God is so precious to me. It's like this. I'll give you a good example. I was in Australia, and one guy came and told me, he's a bodyguard for a world-famous tennis player. So he came for my meeting. He was touched. He was talking to me. So we were talking about, I said I was fasting. He said, oh, you know, I know this fast, and that's really good. So I was not interested in what he was talking to me about. But he gave me, while he was talking, I knew he knew about what he was talking, so I said, I'll give it a try. So I started this intermittent fast, and it worked. I lost 7 kilos, right? So don't despise God's word. When God begins to speak a word into your life, begin to take it in. Sometimes we may think, oh, I know it all. I've heard that word. I heard about the Holy Spirit. You know, what are you talking about? But receive the word of God. You know, I saw signs and wonders and miracles. I've been going to the gym. I've been doing this. I've been eating right. I've been doing that. The weight scale is not coming down. Right? Why? Because it's a problem with revelation. Sometimes we think we know it all. But the revelation has not come. There's a revelation. Every problem is a revelatory problem. Amen. When revelation comes, it begins to change everything. Hallelujah. You don't have to strive. It just happens. Amen. It's easy. In the Spirit, it's easy. There's hard work, but it's easy. Amen. In the times of Nehemiah, there was a group of people. They worked hard, but it was easy in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I pray this morning that there'll be that overshadowing presence of the Holy Spirit over your life. Number four, and I'm going to finish in just 5 minutes. Hallelujah. In verse 37, the angel said, with God, nothing will be impossible. Hallelujah. This morning, God wants to break barrenness. Amen. I'm not talking about having kids. A lot of you have kids. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being single. I'm talking about there are things in your life that you've been praying for. And this morning, I want to release the power of God's Spirit to break that area of barrenness. Hallelujah. Desolation. dryness is breaking off today. Hallelujah. Because with God, nothing is going to be impossible. I know I shared this testimony before. I feel led to share it with you again. You know, many, many years ago, in 2010, I was speaking for Dale Armstrong at Church of the Word. I was staying at his house. And when I got up in the morning, God gave me a word and he said, you know, both of you are going to have a child. So for 1 year it went, nothing happened. This 2011, nothing happened. So in the month of June, I went to my auntie who's a doctor and she said, you know, you people are men of faith. You know, what is wrong with you? And she rebuked me. So she told me to go to this certain doctor who's an expert in this. So I went there and my wife went. And the doctor said, I have bad news for you. You and your wife will never have a kid. And I was not disappointed because I knew that God had given me a word. I heard the word in Lancaster County at Dale Armstrong's house. I heard the word, the Lord said that he'll give us a child. I didn't know whether it was a girl or a boy, but I knew we were going to have a child. So to make a long story short, went back to the doctor. He said, don't come again. So during that time, a pastor called me from Malaysia, and he said, I want to come to your church. He was very aggressive. I didn't know him. I have not heard about him. He said, I want to come to your church. And he was very aggressive. And I spoke to my wife about it, and my wife has a lot of wisdom. So husbands, listen to your wife, right? The wife is the headlights. The man, the husband, is the bulldozer. He's going like a bulldozer. But you need your wife to give you, you know, wisdom. So usually my wife is very good. She's very wise. My answer was going to be no because he was very aggressive. I don't know him. I don't know whether he was running a cult. I don't know. He was a false teacher. So he said, I want all the pastors in your city to come, and I'm going to come and preach. So my wife said, no, have him. So I was like, oh, you sound different today. She said, have him. I said, no, I don't want to have him. So she said, no, have him. So that morning, I was cleaning up my cupboard. It was an old cupboard. It was a cupboard with all my old books, and I had a diary. Accidentally, I happened to, you know, go through my diary. It was a diary dated back 2003. And as I was going through this diary, there was a little card. And it was this pastor who called me. His card was in my diary, so I knew God had a plan, and I invited him to come. So he came, and it was really good. You know, the ministry was good. God touched people. It was awesome. So he said, you know, Pastor, I want to come to your house. So I said, you're most welcome to come to our house. So he came, and he had tea. He said, you know, Pastor, I want to come into your room. I want to go into your room. I said, that's a little bit weird. You want to go into our room. So I said, you're most welcome. So he said, listen, I came to your house for this purpose, and I came to Sri Lanka for this purpose. I want to pray for your wife so that both of you will have a child. So he laid his hands and he prayed very gently, and he went away. You know, just a few weeks after that, my wife fell pregnant and we had beautiful Joshua. Hallelujah. So with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen. Hallelujah. With God, all things are possible. Whatever that you're going through this morning, whatever difficulty that you're going through, God is able to turn that situation around. Hallelujah. No matter what the mountain is, God can level that mountain. Hallelujah. God is able. We serve a God of miracles. Hallelujah. I praise God today for the God of possibility. Hallelujah. I thank God for our son Joshua. He brings so much. He's such a joy to see how he grows. It's the work of God. Hallelujah. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. With God, nothing will be impossible. Hallelujah. Nothing. Nothing will be impossible. Hallelujah. In closing, Gerard, if you can come and play something on the piano. In verse 38, it says, "Be it unto me according to your word," said Mary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Be it unto me according to your word." I believe that the Lord wants to manifest his word to you. In John 14:21, it says that if you keep my commandments, then the Father will love you, and I will love you, and I will come, and I will manifest myself to you. Hallelujah. It's about keeping the commandments of God. In John 14, verse 23, it says, if you keep my commandments, the Father, myself, and the Holy Spirit will come and will be abode in your life. Hallelujah. Will take residence in our life. The Trinity taking residence in our life. Hallelujah. This morning, in closing, the Holy Spirit is here today, and he's doing a fresh work in your life. And that which I have, I can give to you. That's my passion. And I know God is taking me on a journey. Our church, our mission basis on a journey. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit. But you may say, "I'm struggling today. I'm going through a difficult time. I have a mountain that is in front of me. Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do." And in closing, I want to tell you about that story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 4. Elisha going into this widow woman's home, and she had come to the end of her life, where the creditors have come. They want to take her two sons, and she only had a jar of oil. And Elisha said, "Bring empty vessels." And then she went and she started bringing empty vessels. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what the situation is, God is saying, come empty to him. Come empty. Empty yourself today. Empty of the confusion. Empty of the negative things that the enemy is trying to put on you. Empty yourself of the negative emotions, the hurt, the pain. Empty yourself and come to him. And the Holy Spirit is going to fill you up. That's where the miracle is. As you empty yourself, the oil is going to keep flowing. The flow of the Holy Spirit is going to continue in your life. And whatever that you've been going through, whatever difficulty is going to be broken by the power of the Spirit of God. Whatever circumstance that's coming against you will be broken by the power of the Spirit of God. Things are going to change. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He changes our scenery. Hallelujah. We walk not by sight, but by faith in him. As we empty ourselves this morning, he's going to pour out his Spirit upon us. Hallelujah. You're going to see something new happen, unlike ever before, on this journey with God. Boredom is going to go away. You're not going to get bored with God. You don't need action and entertainment. But the Holy Spirit will lift you up. The Holy Spirit will edify you. The Holy Spirit will strengthen you. The Holy Spirit will give you great joy. Hallelujah. As I travel the nations of the world, I see so many things, but I'm not craving the things that are soulish, that brings pleasure to my soul. I don't want that. I don't worship God with songs that are nightclubbish. Yeah! I don't want that, even if it's Christian. I want to worship God. I want to be in the beauty of His holiness. I don't want any soulish stuff in my life. I hate the works of darkness. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. And we ought to be destroying the works of the devil. We cannot entertain the flesh, carnality, the things of the flesh. Jesus came to destroy that. And this morning, I want to invite you to the altar today to drink from the Father. He wants to fill you up today. Hallelujah. He wants to fill you up. He brings a refreshing to you today. The Holy Spirit, you know, refreshes us, renews us anew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.